And I realized it wasn't just the Lord leading me to deal with some separate subjects, but another reason that we stepped away from Genesis was because of the extensive reading that usually is involved. And so that may or may not be a problem. We're trusting the Lord, but if it is, Brother Derek, you stand ready. We'll delve into this as the Lord allows us. In Genesis chapter 30, we find that Jacob now has four wives. He comes to the point where he has the magic number of 12 sons. It is not clear to me, nor can I find any clear-cut proof one way or another, but it is not clear to me that if there weren't other children born to Jacob, maybe daughters. There's at least one daughter mentioned a few chapters from here. Dinah, I think, was her name. So there may have been, amongst the names of these sons, daughters. There could have been other sons that just weren't a part of God's design, God's purpose. But as he comes to this point where he now has 12 sons and the four wives that we spoke of, he begins to feel a movement to go home. I describe it as he began to feel homesick. He's been away probably close to 20 years, laboring for those first two women that would become his wives, 14 years. He's been away, and most likely his mother has died. Whether he knows that or not, I don't know. And he gets homesick. He's been away long enough. Verse 25 of chapter 30. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. When that wonderful young man named Joseph came along, Jacob decided it was time to go home. And what memories does the name Joseph conjure up in your mind and in your heart? There ought to be many. It will be through this son that God will prepare the way for Jacob and all of his other sons to be preserved by being taken into Egypt, preserved from the famine and the possible death of starvation. Joseph is a special son indeed to take note of. As soon as he is born, he goes to Laban and says, let me go home. Release me. He's being respectful. He's paying the proper respect to Laban. Let me go home that I may go unto my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. Let me go. Let me take the four wives. He had paid the proper due to Laban for the two and the others were maidservants given to him or placed before him so that the two daughters of Laban could have seed, bring forth children. He says, let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. You know the record is clear. You know I have done everything I promised to do. I've put in the time, I've put in the effort, I've put in the labor. You know it's true, so let me go. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Laban wants Jacob to stay a little longer, to tarry, to wait a little longer. And he makes that most profound statement. Laban says to Jacob, one thing I've learned, one thing I know and one thing I understand is I have been blessed from God through you. I am a better man, I am a more prosperous man than I was when you came here, and it's all due to God. It's all due to your God. I think, I was trying to remember to be specific, but it seems to me that something was said along these lines concerning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll have to verify that, but I'm thinking. But God definitely says to Jacob, I have been blessed by your presence. God has blessed me by your being here with me. And we know without any hesitation that that was said towards Abraham. God has blessed me for your sake. And we ought to live in such a way and conduct ourselves on the job in such a way as to have our employers acknowledge that by your presence, God has blessed them. God's people should always be assets. God's people should always be seen as blessings to employers. And he said, Laban, appoint me thy wages and I will give it. You tell me what I owe you and I'll pay it. Wasn't going to be any squabbling, any debating, any misclaims about overtime or any difficulties at all. I acknowledge I'm blessed from God by your presence. You tell me how much I owe you and I'll pay it. And he said unto him, Jacob says to Laban, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me. By cattle, we're not talking about cows. We're not talking about bulls. The cattle of these days would have been goats and sheep. Do you know how thy cattle was with me, how I cared for your cattle, and I was surrounded by your sheep and goat? For it was little. What was little? His herds. Those goats and those sheep. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for mine own house also? I know God has blessed me by your being with me, is Laban's word. Jacob reinforces that by saying, yes, this is true. You know that when I first came here, how small your herds were and how large they are now. To God be the glory. Amen. The Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. The Lord hath blessed me since thy coming. But what about my own family? What about my own needs that I have? Laban says, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and the spotted cattle and all the brown cattle amongst the sheep and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. You name it. What do I owe you? What do you want me to pay you? I don't want you to pay me anything. That could cause questions to be raised and squabbles to be raised. What I want you to do, I'm going to pass through the flocks. I'm going to remove from thence the speckled and the spotted cattle and all the brown sheep and the white sheep and goats and what have you. And they shall be my hire. And Laban, the kind and considerate, gentle soul that he was, agrees to the deal only when those spotted and those striped and those different colored goats and sheep were separated. Laban had them taken far, far away and charged his sons with keeping them. And Laban is still a sneaky little guy. And so the deal that Jacob strikes basically has him starting from scratch. The speckled and the spotted and the brown and the speckled amongst the goats and all the sheep, the discolored ones, which might be seen as inferior. I think my understanding, Jacob says, let those be my pay. And Laban has them moved off, and so he has to start from scratch. He says in verse number 33, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come to my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted amongst the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. The goats and the sheep would have been one color, one consistent color, brown or white. The spotted and the speckled would have been seen as probably inferior, lesser quality. Laban twists the situation and removes those speckled and spotted ones far away. And so Jacob has to begin with counting the spotted and the speckled and the different colored ones that looked inferior all over again. However long it's going to take, however long it took, the spotted and the speckled and the different colored amongst the sheep and the goat would belong to Jacob. And anything that was solid color and is appearing as it should will be seen as me having stolen those, not belonging to me. And Laban agrees to that. Verse 35, and he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Speaking about Laban. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. In verse number 37 through verse 43, we read about the result of the deal that Jacob struck. It is described as the prosperity of Jacob. The prosperity of Jacob. Many Bibles will have headings along those lines. Verse 37, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-straked, speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the ring-straked and all the brown of the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger was Jacob's. Laban is seen as being a little sneaky. Some might respond to that by saying, well, Jacob's a little sneaky too, though I don't see that. He takes these sticks. I'm not going to even try to describe what is taking place. He takes these sticks and he peels back the barks and reveals the color underneath the bark. And he uses those rods in such a way as to identify and have birthed sheep and goats that are speckled and spotted and might be added to his flock. Some say that Jacob was a great wise man and had great knowledge and understanding about animal husbandry. Some people will argue that it was just a superstition that paid off. And still others would say, God did this thing. And I would be with the last group. God is blessing Jacob. And verse number 43, and the man, that's Jacob, plainly identified in the last part of verse 42. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle. Cattle not being bulls and cows and goats, or bulls or cows, but cattle being goats and sheep, various colors, and those that became Jacob's property, various markings and what looked like deficiencies that were actually identified as being stronger than the ones that would be identified as belonging to Laban. And the man increased exceedingly. The man increased exceedingly. With all of his trickery and all of his, maybe, foolishness, God prospers Jacob. God keeps his covenant with Jacob. God promised he would be with him, he would prosper him, that God would give him great reward for his obedience, submission to him, his keeping of the covenant that they had entered into one with another. And one man that I was reading used this passage of scripture to bring forth a lesson on dealing with prosperity. How do God's people deal with prosperity? And I think there's a good lesson here for us. How do you deal with prosperity? Well, some are probably thinking, well, you're not talking about me. I'm not very prosperous. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about every one of us. I don't care who you are sitting on a pew in this room right now. You are prosperous. And your quality of life and your lifestyle is far greater than most of the populated world enjoys. Those of us who have been blessed to live in the United States of America are the envy of the world. It's not just some far-off little nation here or some far-off little nation there. There are masses of people, if not most of the people of this world, who don't have the shelter and the health care and who don't have the food and the provisions, who have no desire to ever own anything because they know they never will. But you and I are so blessed. Most of you will go to sleep tonight laying in a bed that you went and bought and you laid down on you. Yes, just right. Just right. Well, how many children, how many adults are going to be sleeping on the ground in many parts of this world? We have heat in the winter and cooling in the summer. In some places, all they have is open windows or no windows at all, just open holes in the walls. We're prosperous. How do we deal with that? Laban knew he had been blessed by Jacob's presence. God has blessed me for thee. God help us to know how blessed we are of God and how blessed we are of those who God has used to be a blessing to us. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Good question. You look at you look at yourself, you look at your neighbor. Who is it that has made a difference between you and them? Who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Simply put, what do you have that you can take the glory and the credit for? Nothing. What do you have that you did not receive by the grace and mercy of God? Nothing. Everything we have and everything we are and everything we enjoy, we receive at the hand of God. We've all received it. You young people who don't have a clue, may God give you a clue to realize how blessed you are. To live in the home that you live in, to live in the family that you live in, to live in the nation where you live in. God help you not to run down your country. God help you not to criticize your country, though she certainly deserves to be criticized. You better first try to be a little thankful, because you don't have anything that you did not receive that wasn't provided to you from someone else, and in particular from God. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou did not receive it? What do you have that didn't get placed in your hand? And why do you glory with that that is placed in your hands as though you didn't receive it? What a shame. Now ye are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. What do you have that you did not receive? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Dealing with prosperity. You got to get up in the morning and go to work. Don't consider yourself prosperous. You are. You're blessed. I'm blessed. I don't have to belabor the point. God's given you the health and the strength to do the job. God's given you the job to do. Given you opportunity to do it. You're prosperous. I'm saying this in comparison to most of the people in the world. Most of the people in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You and I, in our little world of ours, we apply these things to the rich folk. Well, I don't want to apply these things as we usually do to the rich folks. I want to apply these things to you. I want to apply these things to me. I want to have us look at these things and take a good, honest look at these things. And may God instruct us and may God help us to deal with the prosperity that we have. You don't got much money? You got more than most. You don't have much in your pocket. You don't have much in your bank account. Look around and you're going to find folks who are a lot less off. Not as well off as you. 1 Timothy, we apply to rich folks. I want to apply these to you and I, to common folks. Because compared to the world, we are rich. Verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6. Charge them that are rich in this world. That's what we're doing. We're charging those that are rich in this world. I'm charging the people I'm standing up here looking out at who are rich compared to many people of the world. Far greater portion of the world is worse off than you and I. In the United States of America. Charge those that are rich in the world. I charge you that are gathered here tonight that you don't be high-minded. That you don't trust in uncertain riches. But that you trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Do you realize everything you have, God gave it to you? And you know why God gave it to you? For your enjoyment. For your enjoyment. God has given us so much, and the only reason he gave it is for our enjoyment. Charge those that are so blessed and prosperous and rich in this world. Let us be charged and challenged tonight not to be high-minded, not to trust in our riches. You don't have to have $1 million to trust in your riches. Every single day the sun comes up into a world where everything we have we could lose by the time the sun goes back down. You don't have to have millions of dollars to trust in riches. There are many people here tonight who trust in riches, who trust that dollar's always going to be there. Maybe they trust mom and dad's always going to make it. There's always going to be plenty. But every so often we're reminded how desperate, how quick things can get desperate in the day and time in which we live. Trust in the living God. Doesn't matter if you got millions of dollars or thousands of dollars or just hundreds of dollars. Trust in God. That's how you deal with prosperity. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Charge them, verse 18, that they do good. It doesn't matter, millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars. We're charged in the Word of God to do good. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you've got millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, or hundreds of dollars. Be rich in good works. Be ready to distribute. Be ready to give. Be ready to share. Be ready to help. Be ready to bless someone else. Don't be so focused in on self that you're the only one you can think about. Amen. And don't think so highly of yourselves that you don't want to give up any of yours because you've got to hang on to it. Distribute. Be willing to communicate. Charge them in verse number 19 to lay up in store for themselves a good foundation. Not millions and millions of dollars, but a good foundation. Spiritual foundation. Secure foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. I love this last phrase in verse number 19, and you find it a couple other places in Scripture. We have life, we have eternal life, we have the victory, we have all these things already in Christ, and one day we're going to receive eternal life. But we're being charged here in verse 17 and 18 and into verse number 19 that we might deal with prosperity, handle prosperity, live with prosperity in such a way that we may lay hold, grasp it, take, grab, reach out and seize the moment. Trying to remember the passage of Scripture, and that's the worst thing I can do is try to remember. But when they came in to the city from great victories, they would hold what I think they called triumphs. Great praise and great applause. And God's people are challenged to live that way. Yep, we're saved. We're saved forever. We're going to go to heaven. At any moment, we could go into heaven, and at any moment, we could make a mediocre entrance into heaven. The challenge here is not to make a mediocre entrance into heaven, but to lay hold of, to enter triumphantly, to say we've done it all for the honor and glory of the Lord without reservation. Lay hold on eternal life. You already have it. It's yours. Christ paid for it. One day it'll be yours to be realized. Let your life be lived in such a way as to seize the moment. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Timothy, keep that which you've committed has been committed to thy trust. There's certainly many, if not most, spiritual things mentioned or referred to there as the young preacher Timothy is spoken to from the older preacher Paul. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. We heard this morning about the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Lord has had people lay hands upon Timothy. The ministry, his calling, his service to the Lord has all been committed to his trust. And he avoids profane and vain babblings. He opposes oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So we need to learn, and because most of us refuse to believe it, I think that's proof we don't deal with prosperity well because we don't think we're prosperous. Because we look in the mirror and say, I'm not prosperous. Well, stop looking in the mirror and start looking at the other people in the world. You don't have to go too far outside of Wauseon to find poor people. I often reflect upon my days when I was in the fire and life service, and some of the places we had to respond to were pitiful. The conditions that people lived in. I mean, there were times when the situation and the conditions were so deplorable, everybody there knew we get them loaded and we get on the road as soon as possible because this is not the environment we want to spend much time in. The world is filled with people less fortunate than you. And you're more prosperous than many that are in the world. Count your blessings. May I count my blessings. Each of us are prosperous compared to the world. God help us to deal with it properly. Our prosperity is 100% from God. We don't have anything we did not receive from Him. So let's use it for His honor and His glory. Let's be good stewards of it. And may we use it, not abuse it. May we be a blessing to others and seek to be a blessing to others. I'm not talking about the church. That's easy. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about you.
Amen.
Me. When was the last time you dug into your pocket and saw somebody who was in need? And all you had was a 20. I don't want to give no 20. I better look the other way and maybe they won't notice me. The light will change, it'll turn green, and I go happily down the road. Sadly, too many times we go down happily down the road. And I know they're all a bunch of crooks and they're all dishonest and they're just going to take that dollar or that $5 you give them. They're just going to go and buy drugs. Yeah, could be true. That doesn't excuse our cold-heartedness.
Amen.
That doesn't eliminate how willingly we should seek to be a blessing to someone else. And trust the sincerity of the person you're helping. Trust it with the Lord. And if you're a cheerful giver and you're giving because you want to be a blessing and you're not judging or critiquing, God's going to bless you as though everything on that little piece of cardboard is true. He is. He's promised to do that. We'll close there tonight. Try to keep proceeding with Genesis. At the 43rd verse said, "And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maid servants and men servants and camels and asses." The man increased exceedingly. I look at my life, and I never imagined I'd ever own my own home, my own house. But the Lord has used the church and has been a blessing to me. And we're within a short distance of having that house paid for. I can't believe that. I lived in parsonages. I lived in church-owned homes. And the only person who wins with a parsonage is the church, the people of the church. Doesn't benefit the pastor. Pastor can move into a parsonage. He can live there 50 years. And he's going to leave with absolutely nothing. It's still early. But this is the honest truth. One of those southern comedians, this is the truth I say with my hand up. I raise my hand to tell you this is the truth. Went to the ordination last week ago Saturday. And Brother Doug Armstrong was there, was on the council. Known Brother Armstrong, known of Brother Armstrong for many, many, many years. Used to see him on a regular basis at the home conference. I was kind of under the assumption that him and Brother Hopkins had both retired from their pastorates up there. But Brother Doug Armstrong is still pastoring the same church he's been pastoring all these years since he left Tennessee. And you know what he told me? He's just a little bit shy of 50 years pastoring the same church. Amen. You think 25 is a lot of time? A lot of 50 years, that's double the aggravation. For 50 years, this guy has been preaching. You wonder, in 50 years, did anybody ever say, "We've heard that before"? Doesn't he have anything new? Doesn't he have anything different? 50 years. That just boggles my mind. And I think he looked in better shape than me. 50 years. What an accomplishment by the grace of God. What a blessing. What an example. I'll quit. Let's stand together and have a verse of song.